The AutJet Business Show is your gateway to expert business advice and real-world success stories. Each week, a different leader in the business world will share their tips, insights, and lessons, offering you practical advice to navigate your entrepreneurial journey. Whether you have a business idea or are just starting out or looking to elevate your existing business, the AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Ensure you get these transformative conversations live on Thursdays at 6 p.m. or find the podcast at highfm.com. Let's build your business empire together.
The AutJet Business Show is brought to you with the compliments of Avstage. Let them bring your corporate event to life and make it unforgettable.
Let Avstage make your vision a reality. As your trusted technical partner, we deliver top-tier lighting, cameras, sound, visuals, and all technical elements for high-level corporate events, conferences, gala awards, ceremonies, and year-end functions. Elevate your next event with our expert services. Contact Avstage at 011-887-1400 and let us bring your event to life and make it unforgettable.
Welcome. It's now Thursday once again. You're listening to the AutJet Business Show. I'm David Zeidel. And this evening, we've got a special guest with us, Gidon Novick. Good evening, Gidon.
Hello, David.
How are you doing tonight?
Very good. Yeah. I'm actually in the bush, so I'm pretty relaxed.
Oh, fantastic. Nice. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So, Gidon, as I always start, I start off with a business story. So I'll introduce you a little bit later, just after the short little business story, and then we'll get into the chat with you.
Sounds good.
Those who don't know who Gidon Novick is, he's a trailblazing entrepreneur, but I'll explain in which areas. So the business story today is something linked to the airline business, which is where kind of Gidon has spent a lot of his time. And it's a story about American Airlines. And American Airlines was one of the many airlines that was on the booking system. But it was a booking system that was with cards. It was like those catalogs that they have in the libraries. And in the 1950s, they came out with something, and I think it was called the Sabre reservation system. And they created a new reservation system for the whole industry. And because they created it, they decided that they're going to link all the bookings and all the flights and the seats that are available naturally according to alphabetical order. So they just said, we're doing it alphabetically. But if you think of it, it was created by American Airlines, AA. So guess which ones came first. So when somebody's looking for an airline, the system would rate it alphabetically, and initially the first seats were American Airlines, and that boosted their business. And it's a way of thinking, how can you do something that seems like it's good for the whole industry, but in fact, you're creating something that's even better for yourself? And it's similar to when we Google things on Google. Very few people go down to the second and the third and the fourth page. It's kind of what comes up first is what we select. And that was created by American Airlines. So Gidon, you're a trailblazing entrepreneur, and I'm going to introduce you in terms of the airline and that, but I'm getting a notice from Craig, the engineer, saying we've got to go for an ad break. So I'll introduce you straight after the break.
The AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Let's build your business empire together.
Let Avstage make your vision a reality. As your trusted technical partner, we deliver top-tier lighting, cameras, sound, visuals, and all technical elements for high-level corporate events, conferences, gala awards, ceremonies, and year-end functions. Elevate your next event with our expert services. Contact Avstage at 011-887-1400 and let us bring your event to life and make it unforgettable.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Orchard Business Show. I'm David Zeidel, and tonight we're speaking to Gidon Novick. Gidon is a trailblazing entrepreneur who's reshaped industries and inspired change. He was the joint CEO of Comair. He helped launch Kulula.com and then co-founded the Lyft airline. That transformed the way people fly, or South Africans fly. He's also the founder of Home Suite Hotels and Circle Senior Living Ventures, and he's redefining hospitality and senior living. Through another venture of his, Lucid Ventures, Gidon backs bold new businesses, and as chairman of SA Harvest, he tackles hunger and food, the food waste, head on. He's got an MBA from Kellogg University in the USA, and Gidon combines sharp business acumen with his passion for social impact. In fact, Gidon's father was involved with Comair, and at the age of 10, Gidon was exposed to the stresses of business because of a situation that his father was facing at the time. So, Gidon, can you actually share, if we start with that, what that stress was and the impact on you and how it evolved and allowed you to grow as a business person? Because when I spoke to you earlier, you were saying that even at the age of 10, you understood what was happening and it kind of shaped you in the future. So if we can go back to the 10-year-old Gidon and let's start with that. What was the situation at that time?
Sure. Thanks for the kind introduction, firstly. Very kind, I must say. David, so when I was very young, my father was actually in the airline business all of his career. And at the time, which was in the late 70s, him and his partner, Martin Moritz, which many of your listeners may know, were trying to buy the business out of a listed company. They were trying to buy Comair, which was the aviation business. And they concluded an agreement to buy the business. They were just kind of executives in the business at the time. And the sellers tried to get out of the deal. And what ensued was a very long court case, which got lots of attention because there were a whole lot of legal precedents that were set. So anyway, at a personal level, I was this young guy that was very interested in aeroplanes and used to kind of observe my dad always, you know, running around doing business stuff and seemed to be very engaged in the realm of business. And but the, what unfolded was a situation where, as a family, we basically stood to lose everything that we had because everything was in the name of the business, the house, the cars, obviously my father's income, etc. So I just got told that, you know, there's this court case going on, and I didn't really know what a court case was. And we're either going to win and daddy's going to have a good business, or we're going to have nothing and we're going to have to start again. So it was, I think, a good lesson. I mean, I still, you know, even at age 55, I can still kind of feel a bit of the trauma of that time. But I think it was a lesson. Like, business is hard. Business is hard. Business is constantly evolving. You know, you need a bit of luck as well. I think they did have some luck and they won the case in the end. So that was the story, and very formative, I guess, in my life.
And so your dad won the case, was involved in the airline business. You grew up flying different places and had a love for airlines. And did you always know that you were going to get into the airline business as well?
Yeah, it was very glamorous to me, you know, like. And I think this maybe applies to many businesses and endeavors. You know, from the outside, they look very glamorous and fun and interesting. And when you get into them, you kind of you see all the issues, all the challenges, all the problems, all the risks, etc. So I think that's the story of business I've found. You know, you've got to, you know, look at it holistically and look at what you're getting into and what it's going to do for you. You know, is this something that you think will help you grow as a person, will feed your soul? These are long endeavors. These are business, certainly in my experience, is not only extremely difficult, but very uncertain. And it's a journey, and the end goal, the end state, the end result is just so completely unpredictable. So the best you can do is just get involved. Get involved, in my experience, with people you want to be with people that you get along with, people that understand you, people that you understand. It's impossible to do on your own, I've found. And it's much more of an endeavor for me than, you know, a specific endpoint.
So when a lot of people heard that I was going to be talking to you, they said to me, "Ask Gidon, how does an airline make business or make money? Does it make money because?" And there's stories out there of airlines cutting one olive out of a salad and saving a huge amount of money. Is it about cutting the corners? Is it about selling the seats? And the airline industry has evolved so much over the years. Could you give us a quick lesson on where does an airline make money from?
Yeah, well, most airlines lose money over time. It's one of those crazy industries that if you add up all the cumulative profits and losses, you basically, if you're lucky, get to break even over the last, 80 years that airlines have been around. So not the best industry to choose. It is highly complex. It does have many factors beyond one's control. But having said that, there's many things that can be managed and managed well. And if that's done, it can be a very good business. Comair, for example, was profitable for 70 years in a row, which was some kind of a record. So it can be done. I don't think there's any magic. You know, when I get asked about business and secrets and all that, like, I don't really know if there are that many secrets. It's really just breaking down, many thousands of problems and daily problems that one has to solve for, logistical issues, people issues, and many others, and really having the ability and the team and the people to solve those problems. It's not much more than that. There's no single secret I've found that guarantees success even in the airline industry.
Okay, so I've got another sign from Craig saying that we have to go for another break. But when we come back, I want to ask you, why did you transition from Comair to Kulula? At some stage, you were involved with British Airways and then to Lyft. So we'll answer those questions when we come back.
The AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Let's build your business empire together.
Let AvStage make your vision a reality. As your trusted technical partner, we deliver top-tier lighting, cameras, sound, visuals, and all technical elements for high-level corporate events, conferences, gala awards, ceremonies, and year-end functions. Elevate your next event with our expert services. Contact AvStage at 011-887-1400 and let us bring your event to life and make it unforgettable.
Welcome back. You're listening to the AutJet Business Show. I'm David Zeidel, and we're talking to Gidon Novick. And we're talking about the airline business. And Gidon, just the transition. So there was Comair, and then it changed over, or Kulula was established. And then BA was involved at some stage. And then we've got Lyft. What's the purpose of changing all these different things? What changed that made you have to start kind of a new airline? And was it a new airline, or was it a rebranded airline?
Yeah, so the BA Kulula story was part of the Comair story, which was, you know, I would say way back in my past, going back almost 20 years. Lyft is much more recent. I was out of the industry for a long time, more than 10 years, and then the Lyft opportunity came along. I think collectively they are all really responses to an external environment. The BA brand, which some listeners may remember, was really a very effective brand in the local market. It was a little bit odd to have a British Airways branded local service that was operated by Comair, but it was very effective. And at the time, the big challenge was in the corporate market. And SAA had a stronghold with their Voyager program, which again, many may remember, it's actually still around to today, not nearly as effective or powerful as it once was. But we needed at the time a mechanism to compete with SAA, and in particular with the Voyager program. And British Airways had a very strong loyalty program called Executive Club. So that was that story. It worked really well. At the same time, there was this phenomenon going on globally around low-cost airlines, which is effectively was a remodeling of the short-haul or domestic kind of airline business, which resulted in quite a dramatic cost reduction. So more seats in the plane, a single class of service, took out a lot of the frills, the free catering, et cetera, et cetera. The distribution was direct to consumer, mainly on the internet, which was brand new in the early 2000s. So that was really the Kalula opportunity. And on top of kind of that hardcore business model, we infused this really interesting, engaging brand that resonated with people. It was fun. It was engaging. And our staff were incredible. And that was the Kalula story, which made its mark, as a disruptive player in the industry at the time. You know, unfortunately, those all, the Comair story ended quite a while after myself and my father left. But fast forward to 2020, and again, I was out of the industry, and quite frankly, happy to be out of the industry. But there was an opportunity at the time. It was the middle of COVID. Airlines were falling over. There were airplanes all over the place. There were incredibly talented people that were not airline, trained people that were not working, pilots, cabin crew, maintenance people that didn't have work. And so Lyft was really an opportunity to get into the industry at a very low entry cost. And also to create something different and relevant for the time. Lyft was, much more, I would say sophisticated than Kalula. It's a more refined brand. We latched onto this idea of making changes that are completely flexible. In other words, what we understood was that people really hated this idea of always having to pay for their changes and having a big mission around changing their flight. So we introduced the idea of flexibility, and we took away all the friction and the costs associated with that, and just created a modern new age brand that deals with companies like Vita Cafe, and brought in their beautiful coffee on board, which was interesting as well, and a topic for another day. Just the idea of collaborating with other businesses and brands. Anyway, that's my long-winded answer to your question. I would say, different offerings for different times, and just having, I guess, the ability to introduce something and adapt something that was relevant to the market at a point in time.
And if you have a look at businesses, so when we were talking earlier, you said sometimes the most of the value in the business isn't from the core business, it's from other things around it. And you were talking about... and I think it was the slow lounge you were talking about. Can you delve a little bit into that? How does a business make money from things that are not really what they or what people see as the core business?
Yeah, I mean, slow lounge was a great example of exactly that. It was, you spoke about the airline business and, difficult to make money and, a challenging business model, etc. What it does have is it's got... A very big customer base, a very engaged customer base. And, the industry as a whole, if you take all the providers into the industry, the people that lease you the aircraft, the people, the airports, the lounges, the caterers, there's a whole kind of value chain. And there's a lot of money made in the broader industry. So one of those areas was where we saw opportunity was in lounges. And at the time, and this is probably around 2006 or so, the lounge offerings were pretty mundane. I mean, if you can picture it, it had, you would walk into a lounge, there would be like a coffee machine and you'd push the button and make your own, shitty coffee. There'd be some triangle kind of egg mayonnaise sandwiches, and you'd sit down in your little corner and you'd wait for your flight. We saw an opportunity to transform that whole experience and almost create a place that you wanted to get to early. So what happened with Slow was that, you know, people caught onto this and they had a barista making them coffee and beautiful food and beautiful art on the walls, and people started arriving early for their flights just so that they could spend some time in the Slow Lounge, even to this day. So, and that business was worth, you know, was sold ultimately for a quarter of a billion rand, and you know, really came from nothing. It was a cost center in Comair at the time. So I think it was just, you know, opportunistic, understanding, you know, the capabilities that we had, and just seeing the opportunity to build something valuable onto that.
Did you start with that in mind in the beginning, thinking, okay, we're going to create a lounge that will be valuable and then we can sell it for a huge profit? No, so how do you
definitely not. I mean, go ahead, David.
Go ahead. So how do you come about with the thought of looking at different ideas and things that could turn into separate businesses in a sense?
Yes. Well, you know, I'm not the world's greatest business person. Definitely not. My starting point often in business is how can there be something introduced or something changed within a business that makes people feel a certain way, makes people feel better than how they felt before around that product or service. I gave you the example of flight changes. You know, flight changes was like a stress point. We knew it. We spoke to people. We understood it, that people got an angst when it came to changing flights. So How can we improve that? How can we take that away? Slow Lounge was another good example. How can we create a place that people feel welcome? They feel a warmth when they walk in. They feel excited to be there. And so a lot of the things that I've been involved in have been centered around how to create something that makes people feel a certain way, takes away the negative feelings, the anxiety, the stress around certain things, and introduces emotions around excitement and joy and comfort, etc. So I found like businesses generally neglect that part of business. Business is seen as a very scientific endeavor, which in many ways it is. And obviously with AI, we don't have to talk about AI. You've probably spoken enough about it, but you know, the scientific side of business, the analytical side, the system side of business is all being automated and will be automated incredibly efficiently. The other side of it is the human side and the people side and the emotional side. And that's where I see, you know, ongoing great opportunity in businesses to introduce that or introduce more of that into a business.
So do you look at a business and say, okay, where's the pain point? So not the paying, but the pain. Where's the pain point, or how can I add value to somebody? Is that kind of any business you look at? Is that how you look at it? So I'm trying to get into your mind. If you're looking at a business that's not an airline, for instance, you can look at some of your other businesses that you're involved in. Are you trying specifically to be different, or are you trying to add value, or what is the key point within your mind?
Well, let me throw in the example of Circle Senior Living, which is really, you know, the old type of retirement living. You know, in the old, they used to be called old aged homes that people would go to in their older years, and the picture in our minds around these places was really like, firstly, quite a miserable place, a place that, you know, older people were sent, you know, to live out the remaining years of their life. Family did not particularly want to go necessarily to visit them in these places because often they were, you know, far out or just not particularly appealing places to be. And the opportunity that we've seen with Circle and is unfolding in a beautiful way is an opportunity for people to actually be excited about their later years, because now there's an opportunity to live in a beautiful place. And I don't want to just punt our offering. I want to give you a sense of what it is and what was in our heads. A beautiful place, a place of community, a place where, you know, instead of maybe sitting at home alone the whole day, our residents now have an opportunity to be in a community, in an environment with people that they can chat to, they can engage with, they can have a drink with, they can play games with, etc. And so it's their feeling. And when I get the feedback from our residents that, you know, that their lives have changed and they are happier people living in a circle, at Circle Senior Living, that makes me happy. It happens to be a really good business model as well, which we won't have time to go into, but it is a good business model, definitely a better one than airlines in many respects. But the starting point is to create something that fundamentally changes the way people feel and ultimately their lives in some way.
So if you had to unpack business in general, so if you, your son, let's say, or your daughter's going into business, and they say, what's the secret to success? What are some of those things that you would say?
I don't think there is one, David. When we chatted about success, you got me thinking over the last few days. And the one thought that I had is that success is something that's exponential. When you have some success, and I would say I've had limited success or some success or some luck and some success, I don't know what it is. But when you have some success, there definitely is this this exponential effect that further success comes from the success that you've built. So the key thing is to have that success so that you can have that feeling and that confidence to go on to the next thing. And it could be a very small thing that you're successful. It could just be a component of your business. But the important thing is to get to that point. And the only way to get to that point is just to keep going through all the trials and tribulations and mistakes and failures, which are completely inevitable, just to try and hit on that successful moment or that successful business or that successful transaction, whatever it is. But success will build on itself. That I'm sure of, and that I've experienced. And so I think it's just a matter of finding it and to keep going. And as I said before, do it with people that you want to be doing it with, because it's bloody hard, and you want to be having fun in this process of business, because it is so damn difficult.
So you've mentioned that it's so difficult quite a few times. What is difficult about business?
Maybe just for me. For me, I find it difficult. Some people maybe find it a lot easier.
So what do you find difficult about business?
I think there's so many factors. Firstly, it's complex. You know, you've got complexity to deal with. So there's so many dimensions to business. There's the financial side, the marketing, the systems, the infrastructure, the regulations. You know, I can go on and on and on. So there's a lot of complexity to manage. So, you know, I think there's problem solving on a day to day at a functional level. Then you've got, you know, the personalities in business. You've got partners, and I've had a mixed bag in that regard. I've had, you know, people that I just literally would give my life to in terms of helping them in whatever way I could, and some experiences that haven't been good, you know, in terms of partnerships. So I think that's an important thing to manage, and an important thing to try as best you can to get to be in business with the right people and with people that you want to be in business with. That array of issues, complexity, functional issues, people issues, I think just creates, and I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves as well. You know, we want to succeed, we want to do well, we perceive others as doing well, you know, in this whole social media world, everybody else is doing well, and we are trying to do what we can do. So I do think it is a difficult endeavor. I think it's an incredibly rewarding endeavor. So I don't want to be saying avoid business. I think I'm saying exactly the opposite. It is so difficult, and because it's so difficult, when you are able to achieve some success and get some things right, not only does it build on itself, but it's incredibly rewarding. You know, to build something from nothing is a rewarding thing. I mean, you know, that's the most exciting thing for me, is to imagine something, to imagine how something could be, and to see it unfold is incredibly rewarding.
Great. So we're going to unpack a little bit more of your story, and rather than your story, but your thoughts behind business. But we'll do that after the break.
The AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Let's build your business empire together.
Let AvStage make your vision a reality. As your trusted technical partner, we deliver top-tier lighting, cameras, sound, visuals, and all technical elements for high-level corporate events, conferences, gala awards, ceremonies, and year-end functions. Elevate your next event with our expert services. Contact AvStage at 011-887-1400 and let us bring your event to life and make it unforgettable.
Welcome back. You're listening to the AutJet Business Show. I'm David Zeidel, and together we're listening to Gidon Novick, and he's talking about his experience through the airline business and a few other businesses. And Gidon shared that one of the key things within business is the people that you're dealing with, and also to try and do something different, to try and make people feel better when they're using your service, whatever that service is. But he also shared that business is complex and it's got its problems, and there's financing and there's marketing. And it's almost a sense of, when I was listening to you, Gidon, I was feeling like, well, do I really want to embark on something like this? It looks like it's really difficult. And for some people going into business, it's just for themselves. It sounds like with you, with your businesses, it's always been with a lot of people. It's been a big business, not just a one-man business. Have you ever started a business just with yourself, and would you suggest doing that, or would you always want to be with somebody?
I never have. I don't think I could. I personally need people around me. I need to bounce ideas off other people. I need people to tell me when my ideas are crazy, which often they are. So I need somebody or a group of people that are open enough to challenge me, to challenge my thinking, open to be challenged in terms of their thinking, and really people with different skill sets, because we all have our unique skills. It's really important to try and figure out what that unique skill is. You know, I've been figuring that out. As I get older, I'm starting to understand not only what I'm decent at, but what I enjoy doing, and just to really, really focus my efforts as much as I can on what I enjoy doing and what I'm good at. So the short answer is, you know, I've always had partners and always done things together with other people.
And is the enjoyment being with other people, or is the enjoyment creating a business that is successful?
Yeah, the successful thing, like, I've always struggled with that concept, because what does it mean? Like, at what point is it successful? Who decides success or not success? I think it's a little bit of a made-up thing, this idea of success generally, to be honest. I think it's, you know, success is what someone says is successful. Does that mean that it is sold for millions or billions of rands? Does it mean that, you know, customers were well-treated and got a good deal for years and years and years? I don't know what the definition is, and it's probably different for different people. So I think that endeavor and that journey, for lack of a better word, is really, really important. Now, not to say that, you know, one should just embark aimlessly on a journey that's going nowhere. I think alongside this savoring of the journey is also, I think, a very honest assessment of where you are personally, and where your endeavor is, where your business is, and to have almost like a cold look at that and a cold assessment of that, which often needs, I think, outside input to say, you know, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? How's it doing? What do the prospects look like? I have seen, myself included, but I've definitely seen a lot of delusion in business, a lot of, you know, delusion around a concept. You know, I get approached, as I'm sure you do, David, often with, you know, business plans and ideas, and a lot of it is, I would say, somewhat delusional. Not necessarily in terms of the concept or the plan or the idea, like, you know, that someone's hopefully put on paper. Often it's just sitting in their head. But the, when you really unpack like their ability to action it and to do something and to understand the sequencing of events, you know, you might have a great business idea, but it's miles and miles away from being anywhere near a reality. So what are the steps that you're going to take? And I look for people that almost understand that sequence. Like, what are you going to do? How are you going to start the business? How are you going to get going? How are you going to do it in a way that doesn't require massive amounts of upfront capital? How are you going to test the concept that you think is a good concept? How are you going to test it early and either drop it or evolve it into something different? Because the concept that you put down most times, in my experience, turns into something quite different when it ultimately manifests. And so there are all these things that I think I've learned. And yeah, it just, you know, I suppose that, you know, you got to find the right starting point and really figure out, is this something you want to do? And is this something you want to take on?
Okay, so what I'm hearing from you is the idea is one thing, and you can have some great ideas, but it's not, it's the idea is almost like the end goal, and you're saying you've got to know what are the steps that you need to take in order to get to that end goal. So let me approach it. Let's say I've got this wild idea that I want to start. Yes. You've been in the aviation business, and this is related to aviation. I'm going to start this hot air ballooning business in Cape Town, and I've got this dream, and I've looked at all these different things, and I come to you and I approach you with this idea. What would be your approach to assess whether it's worthwhile, and what are the steps that one would take if we handle this almost like a case study? So what would be the process?
Yeah, I mean, if somebody came to me, like, I'm always interested in, like, you know, not your idea and this concept and whatever. You know, firstly, have you done your homework? Like, I must say, homework is very, very easy today.
Do your homework, what do you mean by have you done your homework? What exactly are you talking about there?
Well, homework is, you know, who's doing this currently? Is what are the economics of it? Where is it successful? There's a whole world of information around hot air balloons that, you know, within a couple of minutes, you can basically get a global industry assessment of the hot air ballooning industry in your example. So my point being that, like, it's very easy to get information and data, and that's, you know, the easiest part of the puzzle. So assuming that stacks up, I suppose the next point is, you know, well, how are you uniquely going to do this thing? Like, why are you best positioned to, you know, make a go of this particular business idea? Is it your knowledge of the space? Is it your you know, unique interest in the space? Do you have access to distribution, for example? And maybe we're talking for a second about distribution, which often is, I think, neglected. You know, the marketing side. How are you going to get this fantastic hot air balloon business? How are you going to sell hot air balloon tickets? Through which channels? Are you going to sell them direct? Very, very difficult generally. So which channels are you going to be utilizing, and how are you going to access those channels ahead of, you know, other players and other competitors potentially in that space? So I think those components I'm particularly interested in. And how are you going to get started? Because I personally don't get attracted to business ideas that say, here's my idea and I need whatever, R1 million to get started. I'd say, well, I'm not interested in backing that. I'm interested in seeing how you can take what you've got currently, which might be very little, but that take what you've got and advance the concept to something more than a concept. So go hire somebody else's hot air balloon for the day and do the marketing and do your unique experience around the hot air balloon and come back and tell me, like, what happened in that experiment, if I can call it. So I love the idea of lots of experiments. When people come with ideas and maybe this and maybe that, I'll say, well, go and try it. Take a little bit of money and a little bit of time and go and experiment. Let's do an experiment. Or ideally, let's do lots of experiments and let's compare all of the results of all these experiments. And then we're going to know what's likely to work and what's likely not to work, as opposed to, as you can hear from my spiel here, like when people get theoretical on me in business, I say, like, I'm losing interest here. I'm not interested in this conversation. Business is a practical endeavor. What is the practical thing that you're going to do to advance things, to learn, because it's a learning endeavor. It's what can I do to learn more about what I think may be the case, and so that I can advance the business from that point.
Great. So we need to, unfortunately, go for another ad break. But when we come back, I want to go through a little bit around that, the different channels that you were talking about. And also, once you looked at the different channels to market, how do you protect yourself if you have a unique idea or slightly different idea, or maybe something that's not unique? But we'll do that when we come back.
The AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Let's build your business empire together.
Let AvStage make your vision a reality. As your trusted technical partner, we deliver top-tier lighting, cameras, sound, visuals, and all technical elements for high-level corporate events, conferences, gala awards, ceremonies, and year-end functions. Elevate your next event with our expert services. Contact AvStage at 011-887-1400 and let us bring your event to life and make it unforgettable.
Welcome back. You listen to the AutJet Business Show. I'm David Zeidel, and we're busy talking to Gideon Novick. And Gideon, we're really running out a little bit of time, but just very briefly, if we looked at this hot air balloon business and you looked at the different ways you could sell it, number one, what would be potential different ways of selling the business or getting customers, the channels? And then second of all, how do you protect an idea that you have that is potentially open to anybody to go get a hot air balloon and try it out?
Yeah, and maybe I'll start with the second one, David. And again, this is from experience, so that's by no means the answer. But what I have found is when people try and protect their ideas, I get very skeptical in the sense that I say, well, the best way to protect it is go and do it and do it really well, and you won't have to worry about protecting anything, because it's more about the doing than the protecting of an idea. Ideas are plentiful, and ability to execute on ideas, I think, is quite scarce. So that would be the first kind of thought on that. Distribution is always difficult, David, I think, and underestimated. You know, the best product, kind of concept that is developed has got to be brought to market somehow. And the marketplace, is becoming and is a very, very, very cluttered environment. No one's going out there and looking for your product. They are being bombarded by gazillions of messages in the media that they consume, whatever that is, every day, and they're not thinking of your product. So I don't know the solution for the hot air ballooning specifically, but I would say that the thought that goes into distribution, how you're going to get your product or your service to your customer in an efficient way, bearing in mind that you're not the only one, more than likely, and it's a very, very cluttered environment. So it needs lots of attention. There's no magical answer to it. But it's definitely something that I found is very, very underestimated in the businesses that I've been involved in.
So we're now running out of time, and I'm getting the signal that we need to start wrapping up. But I'm going to take from this that you're saying, if you got an idea, try it out. If you try it out, and even if you're not going to invest initially, borrow it, try business. As you said, it's about doing. And then when you do it, the best way to protect yourself is to do it well and to add value and to do it in some way that makes your customer feel better. Is there any last Any last message that you've got for us?
Yeah, I mean, just to say that I've given a lot of caveats, and I think, you know, as we get older, we have, we learn hard lessons. But I would say that is actually part of the joy of business is learning not only lessons about the external environment, but learning about yourself. Because I think the more you get to know yourself, the more rewarding life is. And I think business is an incredible endeavor to get to know yourself better.
I think that's a great way to leave it, that business, the main purpose of business is to know yourself. What a wonderful message to leave on. Gideon, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
And I just want to say that the input that you've given, hopefully, will help a lot of businesses out there.
I hope so. I really do. Thank you, David.
Great.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you very much. This has been the Ortjet Business Show. I'm David Zeidel, and that has been Gideon Novick. The Ortjet Business Show is brought to you with the compliments of AvStage. Let them bring your corporate event to life and make it unforgettable.